This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
For what seems like an absolute age, we are back at Portman Road at 3 o'clock on a Saturday. Can you believe it? Enjoy it while it lasts. This is the Blue Monday podcast. Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast discussing Ipswich Town up or down since 2015. I'm Richard Woodard and you're listening to the pre-match show brought to you in partnership with our friends at the Greyhound Pub in Ipswich. We're available every week on YouTube video and podcast. And joining me, as always, it's been a busy week, sir. We've had an epic long watch along on Monday, didn't we? How are you doing anyway, mate? Good to see you.
Yeah, I'm Seb. Good, mate. Thank you.
Did I say your name? Seb Brown, for those listening to the podcast. Here's Seb, as always.
Just in case people wonder who your partner in crime on the pre-match show is. It's still me, I'm afraid. No, it was an epic one, wasn't it, on Monday night? Was it 2.5 hours by the end of it? I think it was, because we started early for the,
and we went
for the
early,
draw.
Yeah,
we started early for the draw, and the first half didn't have much to talk about. And obviously, the second half got a lot better. My highlight was definitely the Toys R Us interlude that I see you've now clipped up and released onto TikTok. So
yeah, hi kids.
We're out there with the hi kids. We're out there with you cool cats.
Hello, young dudes.
Yeah. In the world of TikTok. But no, it was a good one, and it was nice because for once there was no cup upset, and if it's one on the telly again, so maybe we're seeing certain curses broken, eh?
Yeah, the Barrow curse as well, which someone mentioned as well. So thank you everyone who joined in on Monday night. And if you fancy us doing those again for Exeter, then let us know. We'll have a think about it. I quite enjoyed it. It was nice to have good discussion. My uncle turned up, which was unexpected. So all good there. So do let us know. And we'll consider our plans for a couple of weeks' time. And talking of Exeter, Zeb, and talk about grinding my gears. I've probably mentioned this on Twitter, but I'm not sure I've mentioned it. I've probably mentioned it on the podcast. I like a bitch and a moan. This World Cup is really annoying me, and moving games around. You know, we mentioned it in the intro. It's a rare commodity, these 3 o'clocks, aren't they?
It's a real pain and it's a real shame, isn't it? I mean, we only had two league games in November anyway, didn't we? We've got Cheltenham on Saturday and we've got Exeter. We were going to Exeter. We had plans with a fellow couple of friends. I think we're coming across from London and we were all going to meet up, and that's gone out the window because logistically getting there for 12:30 was a bit of a nightmare given our respective residencies in the world. So we've lost that one. And then Fleetwood went to a Friday night from a Saturday, and Peterborough went from a 3 p.m. to a 12:30 p.m. in early December. And now Buxton, the poor Buxton fans have got to try and negotiate their way to Suffolk for 5 p.m. on a kickoff on a Sunday night because of an international broadcast.
Yeah, so I guess the World Cup gets a pass for that one.
Yeah, but it's still a real pain. I mean, it's another example. We're going to sound like old men here, aren't we? But it's another example of the broadcast companies just not giving a stuff about the fans, isn't it? It's really irritating. Real shame for Buxton. It'll probably affect their numbers now. I think, did you put in our Telegram group saying there's no trains available? There's no trains available that time of the day. So a real shame for them, because obviously it's a huge day out for them. You know, it's going to be a massive game for them, and unfortunately they're going to pay the price. And it's really irritating. It doesn't affect me. I wouldn't have gone anyway, but it's really, really irritating. And yeah, can't wait till the World Cup is over. I'm not even excited about it, but can't wait till the World Cup is over and everything just goes back to normal on Boxing Day.
Quite agree. Yeah, and I will be I will probably go because it'll be interesting to watch some football, and it's a home match, but there's a potential clash for ITFC women as well, who I think will be in FA Cup action that day as well. Admittedly, I think it's a 1 p.m. So it's just, yeah, all round it doesn't feel like anyone wins apart from the broadcasters, and hopefully Buxton gets some good money out of it. But yeah, I've now got Partridge in my head. I'm going, Bono, Bono, Bono. So there you go.
He does not live here. He's rubbish.
Yeah, he wrote part of Joshua Tree over there and the other part over there. Talking of another person who may or may not have good feelings about the World Cup, and I feel really hard on his behalf, just hard done by, is Wes Burns. What a disappointing situation for him, eh?
Real, real shame, isn't it? Yeah, I thought with it being a 26-man squad as opposed to 23, I thought he'd probably go because he can cover in a few positions. He adds pace, which obviously if he's looking to chase a game is pretty vital. We know Rob Page is incredibly loyal, don't we, to previous squads. I think something like 8 of the 26-man squad played at both the Euros in 2016 when they got to the semi-finals and the Euros last year. So he's a very, very loyal person. But what a blow for Wes. You know, I guess maybe when he didn't play a single minute in September was the writing on the wall then, potentially. But there were injuries that maybe freed up squad spaces for him. And it's a real blow. Hopefully he could pick himself up quite quickly. I've seen he's done an Instagram or a tweet or something tonight showing a picture of him, you know, celebrating in front of the North Stand, saying the best feeling in the world. So fingers crossed he can you know, put in a really good performance on Saturday against Cheltenham. The North Stand, I'm sure, will be giving him a full backing, and hopefully we can look to pick him up because it must be really, really gutting for you, mustn't it?
Yeah, hopefully there'll be Burns will tear you apart ringing out from the North Stand on Saturday. And as much as, you know, it's really disappointing news for him, what brilliant news it is for us if we're being selfish. You know, you don't want to lose someone of the quality of Burns, albeit we know we've got the cover in recent weeks. So I guess if we're finding positives, it's that he's sticking around and can contribute to us.
Yeah, very much so. Great for us. And hopefully, you know, the what would it have been? 4-5 games potentially he would have been missing. Hopefully he can contribute in there. And look, obviously his main aim at the start of this season is to get us back up to the Championship. And it's great for us that we're going to have him available for a few more games to hopefully contribute and hopefully make a telling difference. And then you never know, you know, there'll be a series of Welsh players I'd imagine will come to the end of their cycle after this tournament. If he can get us back to the Championship, scoring goals and producing assists, then there's no reason, hopefully, why he can't get himself back in the reckoning next year for the World Cup in 2024.
Yeah, fingers crossed. In terms of other bits and pieces of weekend news that we need to draw your attention to, ITFC women, as I mentioned, in FA Cup action against Luton away, Sharpenhoe Road, somewhere near Biggleswade, near Luton, I think. If you want to travel along for that, there'd be details on ITFC's website and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. I've been a bit useless there. It's not Kenilworth Road, though, certainly. And they'll be looking to bounce back, having gone out of the League Cup. A bit of a disappointing performance by all accounts against Hashtag, but they move on and bounce back. On Seb, you were in hell
just
of breath.
Obviously you're the expert. I'll doff my cap to your superior knowledge. Is the League Cup one that we're bothered about? Was it a case of giving minutes to reserves and kind of fringe players, presumably?
I think we played quite a strong team in the end. Okay. I think it was just one of those days, and it sounded like the conditions weren't great. I mean, that's an impact for both teams, but in terms of our priorities, the FA Cup has a lot more money for progression. I'm not sure there's a huge amount in the League Cup, so it was definitely third place in our priorities and quite a distant third as well. So I think disappointed because we don't want to lose any matches, and Hashtag are the division below, but I don't think we're gonna, it's not a competition that we'll lose too much sleep over. FA Cup though, and Luton I think are a couple of rungs at least. I'm not 100% sure. They're certainly not in the division below us, so we should be looking to win that one. And it'd be great to get a home tie, similar to the men. We just haven't had any home matches in what seems like forever. So,
and there's a big gap between league games, isn't there? Between the next league game is the Plymouth game in.
Yeah, well, there's purposefully gaps left for FA Cup.
Yeah.
And the games have been moved around. So Cheltenham, Watford, I think.
It's about a month, isn't it, between league London games by the time Plymouth comes around, seems
so games. It's a constant flux. And it's something that, for those of you who are interested in finding out more about supporting ITFC women and getting behind the team, and it might be whether you're local or further afield, an official supporters club is being set up. More details will start to appear over the weekend, which is kind of a soft launch. And then if you want to express an interest, it's free to join up. More details about what's going on will be made available to you, and you know, ways to get involved at home and away games. So at ITFCWOSC on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you can find out more there. And we'll talk more about involvement in our live event later on as well, because we've got some Q&A that we can do there too. Final bit of news, interesting context, I guess, for predictions maybe, Seb. Manager of the month. And Kieran McKenna has got the feeling to me in Football Manager, where you have a really good month and you have your team first or second in the league. But for some reason, some other manager has got a more wins or something, or more goals for, and you end up missing out on this manager of the month thing. Is that what we're hoping for here? I mean, there's an obvious candidate, isn't there?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he won it. I mean, you know, Schumacher at Plymouth. There's four people nominated: McKenna, Grant McCann, Darren Moore, and Stephen Schumacher. Schumacher at Plymouth has won six and drawn one of the seven league games in October. So he surely is a home banker to win that one, I would assume. Everyone else has got a loss in there. I think Peterborough lost one, Wednesday lost one, and we lost one. Peterborough might have lost two, actually. But happy to let somebody else have it. Let's let Schumacher have it. And then, you know, first of all, it keeps McKenna under the radar. We're starting to see vacancies further up the pyramid kind of becoming, you know, available. So let's keep him under the radar a little bit, and hopefully the manager of the month curse might occur for whoever does win it, and they can drop points and we can take advantage of that on Saturday.
Yeah, well, we'll talk more about that, because we have got some interesting predictions to talk about, but more on that later. For now, talk to me about Cheltenham, Seb.
So, yeah, Cheltenham are home in one of our only two league games. This is our only home league game in the month of November, which seems crazy, because normally it's where it starts to ramp up now, isn't it? Building up to the busy Christmas programme. But it's our 1:03 Saturday kickoff at home in November. They're currently sat 19th in the league with 18 points. They've played 16, won 5, drawn 3, lost 8, only scored 13 goals this season and conceded 20. They have kept 6 clean sheets so far this season, which kind of jumped out at me. For, you know, for a side that's not scoring many, they're okay at the back, and maybe, you know, they look to have a solid base to build from in the second half of the season. They're not in amazing form recently. Of their last 5 games in the league, this is, they've won 1, drawn 1, and lost 3. The win and the draw were the last 2 games. Before that, it was kind of 3 straight defeats away from home at Burton, Sheffield Wednesday, and Accrington. They're poor away from home, only 5 points from 7 games. They've only won 1 away all season, and they've only scored 3 goals away from home all season as well, conceding 8. So they simply do not score goals on the road. One interesting stat that jumped out at me, though, they are the 3rd youngest side in the league this season with an average age of 24. We were right up the other end. Us and Wednesday were right towards the top of that tree. But I think Lincoln were the youngest, and they're the joint 3rd youngest. So maybe a bit of a transition season, given the previous managers moved on and they're looking to kind of change things up a little bit.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the manager in a sec as well. But that's, yeah, certainly an interesting and perhaps illustrates some of the challenges they've got there. We'll talk more about them from a statistical kind of standpoint later on. But, you know, at this level, you know, clearly it's a club. I'm not sure. I was trying to do some quick research as to whether they've been at this level before. But certainly last season, a 15th place finish, having been promoted, was pretty good return, wasn't it?
Really good season, wasn't it? Yeah, obviously Mike Duff was in charge. They won League Two in the behind closed door season. So what's that, 2021? They won that League Two that year, and they got promoted. And they were never really, I don't think, involved in the relegation scrap. A huge part of that is owed to Alfie May, the striker, who we'll come on to. I think he got like 23 goals last year, so he was a major reason for them from staying up. But they, you know, they were well clear of the relegation positions. We didn't beat them last year. We had this record, didn't we, where we couldn't take points off any of the promoted sides. I went to Cheltenham. I think it was my first game of you know, back in front of a pitch side, so to speak. So I went there in August for the 2-1 defeat. We went 1-0 up through Matt Penny with an amazing sort of left foot half volley, I think from a corner, I think it was. And then we had the Macaulay Bond. Remember the horror miss where he's through on goal and he can't decide, should he head it, should he tap it home? And he kind of doesn't do either, and it goes horribly wrong. And we lose 2 goals in the second half. You know, we lose them, and we faced an absolute barrage that night of long throws from Ben Toza. I mean, there must have been 10, 12, 15 of them in the second half. Thankfully, he moved on to Wrexham quite soon afterwards, so also he won't feature at all tomorrow. But we just didn't turn up. You know, it was that start of the season where it was kind of horribly inconsistent. We had Joe Piggott playing as a number 10, if I remember rightly, in Paul Cook's 4-2-3-1, and lots of things didn't work. And then they took 2 points off us in February time it was. We had that horrible week where we had Cheltenham on a Tuesday night, and then you and me went to Morecambe on the Saturday, and we only got 2 points from the week. You know, it was a really frustrating game. We had chances in the first half, but we didn't take them, and the second half just really, really sort of petered out. And I remember saying at the
boring,
time,
boring Cheltenham was the chance.
It was, wasn't it? There was some S-housery on their behalf, and I remember thinking after the Morecambe game, those four dropped points in the space of a week could prove absolutely crucial. And obviously, we know how the season finished. We didn't make the playoffs, obviously. And looking back, I think that week was one of the major reasons why.
Yeah, Mike Duff certainly figured us out, didn't he? And that's continued with Barnsley season as well. So need to watch out for that for the return game at Oakwell, don't we? In terms of, we've talked about the general form for the season, but last time out, they were on the wrong side of the giant killing, weren't they?
It was, yeah. Alva Church, were they the lowest ranked side in the competition still at the time, I think, when they beat them before our game had been played? I'm sure I read something about that. So, they lose 2-1 at home at Cheltenham to Alva Church. A defensive mistake puts Alva Church 1-0 up. The guy robs the centre-half, runs through and kind of slots home. Second, Alva Church were unlucky. They hit the post as well. There's a bit of controversy where Cheltenham player thought the ball had crossed the line to make it 2-2. They were 2-0 down, clawed one back to 2-1. Ball looked like it went over the line. Manager's adamant it went over the line. It wasn't given. Alva Church then hit the post in injury time to see a relatively kind of comfortable win. If you look at the stats, they're pretty even. It wasn't a case of Cheltenham battering them and them hanging on. You know, the stats are pretty even. And as a bonus for us, two injuries to players as well. They finished with 9 men. They made all their subs, finished with 9 men because Ryan Jackson and Daniel Ndlundalu both went off injured. So hopefully they might be doubtful for tomorrow because they're two kind of key-ish players for them.
Hmm. And last time out in the league, pretty uninspiring, albeit
a dull 0-0. Yeah, point to point, a dull 0-0 to MK Dons at home at Cheltenham. 42% possession, only 3 shots on target. MK, the higher possession, as you would expect, 58% possession, 8 efforts on goal. When I watched the highlights on the YouTube channel, it made it look like their keeper Luke Southwood made a few decent saves to keep Will Griggan, everybody else at bay. So they were pretty reliant on him. I guess a point at home to MK for them isn't necessarily a bad result. But that Alva Church one will really be a real kick in the gonads, won't it, going into this one?
And their reward for Alva Church is Forest Green, which at least, it's on the telly for them, but maybe you could have got a little bit more of a sexier tie, couldn't you?
Yeah, they could play at 5 p.m. on the Sunday.
There you go, indeed. Wade Elliott's in charge, a name that might be familiar to folk who remember wingers for Burnley. I think he was a right winger or a right midfielder. Yep. Probably a surprise, albeit I think he's got a lot of pedigree behind the scenes, isn't he, as a coach?
Yeah, it's a continuity appointment, isn't it? It's obviously Mike Duff gets pinched by Barnsley following their relegation from the Championship, and they promote internally. So Elliott was part of the coaching setup last year. He was part of the coaching setup that won them League Two in the 2020-2021 season. So it's a continuity appointment, a bit like what Plymouth did with Schumacher, isn't it, where they replaced Ryan Lowe with him. Sometimes it's easier to keep things sort of ticking over in-house. I'm not being disrespectful, but Cheltenham's probably a bit of a hard sell to attract managers and stuff. You know, they're going to have one of the smallest budgets in the league. The ground isn't amazing. Is it sometimes easier to go for the continuity appointment to keep things ticking over nicely if you've got, you know, a young coach and young pedigree in the building already? And he certainly has kind of served his, you know, apprenticeship out and about. Like you say, he's known best for his time at Burnley and Bournemouth. He's made over 200 appearances for both those clubs. Also had time at Birmingham later on in his career in Bristol City. Bristol City is where he retires. I think it's 2013-ish. And he takes over their under-21 side. He then gets the step up to become a full first-team coach when Steve Cottrell gets sacked in January 2016. Lee Johnson comes into Bristol City and he moves on. He brings in his own people. So Elliott becomes the academy manager at Forest Green Rovers. He then goes to Stoke, the under-23 side in 2017. So he's kind of working, you know, at various kind of youth areas, all different clubs throughout the country. He takes charge in January 2018. This is back in Stoke when Glyn Hodges moves on. He stays on as assistant manager. However, when Kevin Russell comes in, he loses his job as part of the reshuffle. And he joins Cheltenham as a first-team coach in September 2020. So he joins right at the start of that behind-closed-door season. He's the assistant manager and the first-team coach for Michael Duff, and obviously he was a major contributing factor in that, and they looked to make that appointment permanent in July when Duff moved on to Barnsley.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see longer term how he gets on there. It's not always easy to go from second fiddle to the manager, and I guess again, you know, this is a team, as you mentioned, that their ambition presumably is staying in this division as well. Yeah. So at the moment, 19th is kind of job done, but with definitely looking over your shoulder, isn't it? So yeah, it'll be interesting to see there, but I'd assume that given the stature, you'd get some time and loyalty, wouldn't he? So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he gets on there. Give us a sense of his tactical approach to games and the formation that we might see on Saturday.
So he's pretty rigid in his formation. It's a three at the back. It's kind of a 3-4-2-1, like we played kind of, you know, the back end of last year, the first part of this year, maybe, where you have the two tens in behind the main striker. The one time they went away from that this season, when they played Wednesday, they went to a flat back five. So in the past, when playing one of the so-called big boys, they have made a tactical change. So perhaps we might see, as opposed to the fullbacks kind of looking forward to support the midfield and get forward, it might be a flat back five. And I guess perhaps seeing what they did to us in February, that wouldn't be too surprising if that was the case again, you know, kind of two stay-at-home fullbacks and very much a back five to try and nullify our threat from the wings.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one for them, isn't it? And you can imagine them clogging up the back line and sitting very deep. We will be back after this.
Innovation Labs is business hub and co-working space with strategic locations across Suffolk. Our aim is to foster innovation, entrepreneurship, business growth, and the development of an AI centre of excellence in Suffolk. Monthly hot desks are available from just £79. For more info, head to innovationlabsgroup.com or contact info@innovationlabsgroup.com. Innovation Labs, providing support for businesses across Suffolk. Locations in Stowmarket, Ipswich, Sudbury, Woodbridge, with more to follow.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Talk to us about key players then, Seb, because there'll be one name that I'm sure for watchers of League One will be very familiar, Alfie May.
Yeah, Alfie May's the major success story from last year, isn't he? I think it was 23 goals last season, which helped them finish, like we said, comfortably kind of 15th. He's had a very stop-start season this year. He's only just come back from an ankle ligament injury. So he missed the game against MK Dons in the 0-0 draw, but he featured as a sub against Alvechurch. So he's kind of on his way back from an injury. He's only made 8 appearances so far this year. He scored 3 goals and 2 assists in those 8 starts. So still a decent return, but he is kind of working his way back to fitness. And I guess that explains maybe why they've kind of been struggling a little bit. You know, if you lose your talisman, lose your 23-man top scorer from last year, a bit like we saw with Morecambe and Stockton, you know, it can have a major effect on the way you play. Dan and Lulu, like we said, was the guy who went off injured against, he's a striker, he's got 3 goals so far this year. He went off injured against Alvechurch. He's on loan from Southampton, so potentially I guess he must be considered a doubt. Ryan Jackson is the other player that went off. He's kind of a right wing back slash right back. He scored their goal. He pulled 1 goal back against Alvechurch last week. But he went off with a back spasm, so again he must be rated doubtful. And again, that would be a boost to us because he's got 2 assists so far from the right hand side. He really likes to get forward on the heat maps, and 41% of their attacks come from that right-hand side. So he's kind of crucial to the way they play and the way they like to get forward. So fingers crossed, you know, unfortunately for him, hopefully he'll be out on Saturday with that back spasm.
Have you ever had a back spasm?
No, I don't really know what it is. I'll be honest, I've never played professional football or done anything remotely that would probably cause me to have a back spasm.
I'm not an athlete either, and I'm not sure there's a huge amount of understanding as to how they occur. It might be discs and stuff like that, but I walked around at work and sat down, and then just one side of my back just totally seized up, and
that's just getting old, mate.
Anytime I tried to move, it just hurt. And okay. it just kind of came on really suddenly. It was very strange. And
was it long term for you?
It got better slowly. But probably for a professional athlete, maybe the recovery time is a bit quicker, but not a nice injury, not something that I would wish on anyone.
No, but fingers crossed, hopefully for us, he'll be missing on the weekend. One thing I did notice, they've got a couple of centre-backs, Lewis Freestone and Sean Long, and they are very small for this league. Normally, when I do the research, I kind of cast my eye over the size of the centre-backs, and that gives me an idea, firstly, if we might start Ladapo for a physical presence, and secondly, how they might kind of, you know, defend set pieces and stuff. And these two centre-backs are 5'7" and 5'8", respectively.
Wow,
which, you know,
really?
For League One, they play three at the back, but certainly two-thirds of them are small for League One opposition. That to me seemed incredibly small.
So do you play Ladapo then?
Yeah, every day of the week. And he's in form. We'll come on to us, yeah, but every day of the week I would, yeah. Wow. Without doubt.
Good spot there.
And one last player I like is Ryan Broom. He was on loan last year at Plymouth from Peterborough. He plays as one of the 10s. So he kind of looks to get in support of whoever the striker will be, presumably Alfie May on the weekend. But he's a player I like. He had a decent year last year, four goals and five assists at Plymouth. Peterborough let him go in the summer permanently. So he's joined Cheltenham. And he's always a player I kind of looks to make things happen. He's a player I quite like.
Yep. And there's a familiar name for Ipswich fans. If you want to grind your gears about Premier League teams poaching young talent, you can find a former Ipswich Academy player in their squad, can't you?
Yeah, Charlie Brown. So he's 23 now. He's getting on. I can't remember what age it was Chelsea nicked him. And he went to MK for a while as well.
16 or something, wasn't it? I guess it was 16.
Went to MK for a while as well. Then he's got one goal so far this season. He, like I say, he went to MK last year, I think it was. Didn't really feature that much. But yeah, one of those ones where suddenly there's just a release in there. And yeah, Chelsea, like Ben Knights to Man City, one of those frustrating things as part of the elite player performance program rules, whatever it was. It never seems quite right to me that you can suddenly lose a potential young talent worth decent money to a lower league side to get gobbled up and slowly get released by a Premier League side down the line. But that's the way it works, isn't it?
Yeah, and maybe a lesson for some players who, you know,
don't go too early. Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly so. Right. And, you know, it's a difficult one when a Premier League club is saying, well, we'll pay off your parents' mortgage and we'll stick you in a private school kind of thing. But
allegedly.
In terms of your career. Well, no, I mean, that's the kind of stuff you hear. Here's Peter Cech, meet him, you know. There's definitely a lot of schmoozing that goes on. So, yeah, that wasn't specific to Charlie Brown. That's just stuff I've heard, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty common. So, yeah, and we've kind of talked in terms of the style of play and stuff like that. I've tried to find, I like my stats, but we tried to find stuff where they are, where there are outliers, or we can provide some context. We've mentioned the goals. I mean, overall, they are the second lowest for goals scored, but only three goals away from home is the worst in the league.
Yeah.
Second lowest on shots per game away from home, about eight on average away from home. Disciplinary record's not particularly good. 37 yellows and one red card is the sixth worst, as it were. And possession, not a huge amount. 45.2% on average, a little bit lower away from home, puts them in the bottom third of the league. Pass accuracy, not great. It's 23rd for accurate short passes, 22nd for accurate long passes. So it is, I think, going to be about the dribbling, where they have got some strength. They average 6.3 dribbles per game away from home, which is the fifth best in League One. So that's the threat. And you mentioned and singled out Jackson. So that's something to look out for. They're good on the aerial duels in spite of the height of some of their defenders. And this is something that you spotted. All three of those away goals have come from open play. Nothing from set pieces.
So, not away.
So they might, and maybe that's something they'll have worked on during the week there. But yeah, shots conceded per game, they're 20th in the league, 15.9, 16 on average. So it feels like, Seb, along with the form, along with our form, the way we like to play, There's a good opportunity for us on Saturday, isn't there?
Very much so. And we've said it in the past, these are the kind of games we simply have to win. I'll be honest, the last time I did research like this and was feeling not, I don't feel as confident in this one as I did previously, was the Lincoln game. All the stats for the Lincoln game were kind of suggesting, you know, I think I predicted a 3-1 and I thought we'd kind of walk that one a little bit. And obviously we learned our lesson there a little bit. So I've been a bit more kind of hesitant in my ambitiousness and my, you know, my score prediction. I still think we'll win. But hopefully that Lincoln game will serve as a bit of a wake up call that sometimes we can't simply turn up and look to beat sides like me. And certainly quite a few of our fans might well think at the moment.
Yeah, and as we talked about before as well, Kieran McKenna learns from these issues, doesn't he? So
absolutely.
Yeah, I think I might be wrong, but we've in the league we've taken the lead in 4 of our last 5 matches. So I think that's something that clearly we're going to be needing to go to the front foot, need to create those good quality chances. That was the difference, I think, at Lincoln, is we didn't really manufacture a huge amount of chances. The keeper didn't really have a huge amount to do, and I think possibly, yeah, you're likely to have one mistake and be punished, which is what it was, and then you're struggling to get back into it. So we just need to take the jugular, don't we, and get stuck in early doors. Talk to us about your thoughts on who may come in. I'm happy to give you my thoughts as well, but the big questions are always the front three. But with no Lee Evans, who impressed you on Monday night?
I thought Cameron Humphreys was excellent again. We were both at Port Vale where he scores and get an assist, and I thought he was really good against Brighton on Monday night. His weight of pass is superb. His decision making seems to be absolutely excellent. He's got a great fitness and engine about him. You know, he's still bombing around the pitch. There were some suggestions, weren't there, the ball kind of went off injured or had a problem when he went off. One of the guys in the Telegram group was at Bracknell and said he was deep in conversation with some of the, was it the medical team or the performance team? So I don't know if he's got a bit of a niggle. He didn't play great against Bracknell on Monday night, I didn't think. So if he's got any kind of doubt, I've got no issue at all with Humphrey sitting alongside Morsey. If Ball is fit and absolutely fine, I expect him to start alongside Morsey. Vincent Young is a bit of an interesting one. I thought he played really, really well. Some people have said maybe that Danasian maybe needs to be taken out of the, you know, maybe given a bit of a break, but there was a stat release this morning, I think it was, that Janassian has started every single game under Kieran McKenna, so he's clearly one of the favourites, and Vincent Young might have to make do with a place on the bench again because Leif Davis will come back in on the left-hand side. And then we have the conundrum of the front players, don't we? You know, Ladapo is the man in form. He's the out-and-out top goal scorer now, I think, on 7 or 8, is it, in all competitions? I think he's pulled one clear of Chaplin, and he's in form, isn't he? 2 against Plymouth, you know, got one against Bracknell again the other night, so he's in form. I'd have him start personally. And then what would you do with the tens behind? We saw, who did we see? It was Edwards, wasn't it? Edwards on played all right again. Yeah,
Chaplin came off the bench, didn't he? And yeah, Chaplin and Harness, there are, I mean, these are like really like pencil question marks. You know, Harness, I think we talked about him being maybe a starter, not a finisher. So yeah. I wonder whether that gives him the nod there. We mentioned maybe the need to get a physical presence in there, and he can be that as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see Harness, having not seen him for Bracknell. But you know, Chaplin's goals, isn't he? There'll be a point where his run changes. But yeah, Edwards, I think, it feels like Edwards has made the starting position his own, doesn't it, really? And good on him, because he's been one of our best players in recent weeks.
Absolutely. There was debate in the summer, wasn't there? Because he missed the back end of last year, and there was debate in the summer saying, where does he really fit in? Because at the time with the wing-backs, you know, I guess they were saying he could be Wes Burns' deputy on the right-hand side. Could he become the left kind of wing-back? But in this kind of evolution we've seen to this 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3, whatever it is you want to call it, he's kind of making one of those kind of wide attacking positions his own, and he's a great outlet when he's on the pitch. He's always so positive. He's got a trick in him that can beat a man, and for me, I think he's one of the players that's kind of, you know, if he gets in and you know, can perform to the level he's been doing recently, I think he'd start to become one of the first names on the team sheet, because I think he's such a skillful, tricky player, and he's now, having had a full summer coaching from McKenna and the like, he's finally had his men product as well, hasn't he? So you know, he's one of those players on his day that looks far too good for this league. I know we've got a few like that, but looks far too good for this league. And if he can, you know, keep producing assists, keep producing moments, keep as an outlet, which he is, we noticed a few games when he's gone off, we've kind of lost that, you know, that pacey, trickery kind of out ball. If he can get in and stay in, then, you know, he could have an absolutely crucial second half of the season.
Yeah, well, subject to dominant ball situation, I'd quite like to see Humphreys and Morsy. I quite liked Humphreys in that deeper role, and we saw him at Port Vale. We were very impressed, weren't we? So I'd like to see that. I think KVY is, we know that Davis, obviously Davis had a rest Monday night. We know that Davis doesn't necessarily always see the full 90. So KVY is the bench option that Greg Lee deputised quite well for, I think is a decent option there. And I quite like the trio of Chaplin, Edwards, and Ladapo. I think go for it. Attack, attack, attack. Yeah. There is no point being patient. There's no point trying to be cute and clever. You know, we've seen Jackson come in, Tyrese John-Jules come in, I think against Lincoln. And I think that might have just set us out in a way that maybe we should have been a bit more aggressive. And I think, you know, Jackson's got the pace, but I think they're going to be sitting deep, aren't they?
Yeah. I don't know. There won't be much space in behind, will there?
No. So I think that's what we foresee. We'll give you our thoughts on predictions in a second, but let's talk about what's going on in the pod, because it's a busy time for us, Seb, isn't it? I've talked about our live event too much. So tell us all about it and where folk can find out more information.
So Blue Monday, itfc.co.uk for all the information and on our social feeds. So on 7:30 on Saturday night after the Cheltenham game, the Sir Bobby Robson suite at Portman Road, very kindly being hosted by the club. We have Blue Monday Live Part 2. The first one was a few years ago. This one is a more up-to-date one with a bigger team than you guys had a few years ago. The likes of me and Craig have joined since then. So more of us will be in attendance, and we'll be joined in attendance by some ITFC women. So we've got some Blue Wilson is coming along. Kieran Stanley, the media officer for ITC One's going to be there as well. Joe Sheehan, and a hell of a coup this is. Well done to you, mate. We've got Russell Osman joining us as well. Fully bona fide ITFC legend. Russell Osman
friend of the pod
will be
well.
There. Friend of the pod, yeah. He'll be there as well for a bit of a Q&A session. We've got some quizzes. We've got some fun stuff planned. It's going to be an amazing night, as long as I can get all the tech right. You've given me some tutorials, haven't you? But if screens go blank and lights go dark, you'll all know who to shout at. No, it's going to be an amazing, amazing night. Still some tickets available. Ticket sales have gone really, really well. Still some available. Blue Monday, itfc.co.uk for all the details, or check out our socials and hopefully see as many of you as we can there to have a few beers, have some fun, and chat ITFC.
Yeah, I think that's predominantly it, isn't it? We do enjoy the interaction via the podcast and on our watch-alongs and in chats and on Telegram, but it's even better to see people in the flesh and have a chat. Hopefully we've got a positive game to talk about as well. That would really ruin things if we don't. So please sort us out, Kieran and the team. But yeah, I think just great to chat to folk. And we're really fortunate to have Russell involved.
Yeah.
And be at Portman Road in general as well. Yeah. So.
And the support from the ITC Women people attending as well. You know,
yeah, it's been great. I need to thank Kieran Stanley. And they've been really helpful to us. And we're saying as well, so we are aware that it is not a great time in terms of spending money. We know a lot of people have got issues with logistics and transport and that kind of stuff. If you are around and you like to go, but you are struggling to pay for that ticket, let me know. Contact me directly. Contact Seb directly. We can, I'm sure, sort some stuff out. I'm not saying we're going to give freebies away to everyone, all that kind of stuff, because we do have to cover some costs as well. But if you are really keen to go, but it's just a challenging time for you, let us know, and I'm sure we can sort something out. So at Ipswich, at Brown SO8, let us know. What I would say is, as much as we're keen for many people to turn up, please don't turn up on the night at 7:30 if you don't have a ticket already. Clearly, you can buy them online in advance, but we won't. It's not physical tickets. You can't pay on the gate. So please make sure you've made arrangements one way or the other, because Seb's on the door and he won't let you in otherwise. So that's something to bear in mind. In terms of, we're brought to you in partnership with the Greyhound, our friends at the Greyhound. A lot of us will be there pre-match. A few of us will be there post-match ahead of the game as well. So if you're coming on Saturday night and what are looking for something to do in between, then feel free to pop onto the Greyhound, because we'll be there until we need to go and set up. We mentioned the Telegram group very briefly. That is available to you guys. Twitter is just an absolute freaking, I'm really struggling not to swear, Seb, but Twitter just feels like It's jumped the shark, hasn't it? So
it's gone crazy, isn't it? I'm not a big Twitter person. I mean, you know, you guys tweet way more than I do, but I've seen how crazy it seems to have gone in the last 14 days or so. So if you want a break from all that mayhem and chaos, come and join us in the much nicer, the much more polite, the much more stable atmosphere of our Telegram group. Free for 2 weeks. First 2 weeks are on us. Then it's only a fiver a month. And, it, you know, paying a fiver a month to stay away from the madness of Twitter will do wonders for everybody, I'd say.
And if you're looking for a way to get a cheaper ticket to Blue Monday Live, then signing up to our Telegram group before Saturday will get you a discounted ticket as well. So bear that in mind too. Flagship show. So we are not, it looks like we won't be able to record the live show. And frankly, given people have paid to be there, I think we owe it to them to kind of make that an event that's self-contained and just for them as well. We'll try and share as much as we can. There'll be videos, I'm sure, photos and all that kind of stuff. But I think we'll try and keep that show within its own thing. So I'm hopeful that we'll confirm details, but we will do a flagship show of some kind or another Sunday night. I think Ben might be in the host's chair because he's unable to join us in person on Saturday. So keep a lookout for that. And as always, if you're traveling to the game listening to us, let us know you're there. We love hearing from you. Give us a thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube, a 5-star review if you're listening to a podcast. And I think, frankly, Seb, that's quite enough. And I know all of you will be very pleased when we don't have to plug the live event. So next week, I don't even know what we're doing next week. Is it Exeter next week? I forget. Probably, yeah.
Exeter on the telly next Saturday morning.
Yeah, so we won't have to mention it after this weekend. I'm sure you'll be glad to hear. Let's get a distraction. Let's talk about predictions. So as always with this feature, we are going to, ahead of you potentially skipping through this bit or turning off, we are narrowing this down. We are streamlining this feature because we've realized, and we listen back as well, but some of you have given us feedback, listing out every single League One game when frankly there's a lot of chaff in there is a bit of a waste of your time, certainly. So we are going to be a bit more lean and mean about this feature and focus on the stuff that is most interesting. So first off, in terms of interesting bits of information, what a good week I had. Only three games where I didn't pick up a point. Let's look at Seb's face. There it is.
Shaky.
Both Matt and I got a successful result. But overall, an 11-point haul for me. So there you go. A win for me.
How far behind am I now then?
So in terms of rounds, you are 7 rounds behind me.
It's a dangerous scoreline, isn't it? Seven.
Being
7 ahead is always the dangerous one. It's where mine is. I've got you right where I want you now.
Yeah, exactly right. And Matt wasn't able to defeat you outright and basically just thought, I've embarrassed myself, my family, the Telegram group. So he's handed over the baton to Mark Beck, friend of the pod and member of our Telegram group. He's going to have a go at the predictions. So he's got a little message for us. So we'll play that now.
Good evening, chaps, and good evening, fellow Blue Monday listeners and watchers. I am Mark, and I am the Telegram representative for this week's predictions. Hopefully I can maintain Matt Macon's excellent record and the pride of all those in our excellent Blue Monday Telegram group. If you haven't joined it yet, I would recommend giving it a go. It's a really good group of people and, yes, get to do fantastic things like this. So without further ado, I'll do my best James Alexander Gordon impression as I read my predictions for this week. Got my trusty notepad. Accrington Stanley 0, Sheffield Wednesday 2. Bristol Rovers 3, Fleetwood 1, Burton Albion 1, Charlton 1, Cambridge United 0, Bolton Wanderers 2, Exeter City 2, Peterborough United 3, Forest Green Rovers 1, Wickham Wanderers 1, Lincoln City 1, Plymouth Argyle 2, MK Dons 0, Derby County 1, Morecambe 0, Portsmouth 2, Oxford United 2, Port Vale 2, Shrewsbury 1, Barnsley 0, and all importantly, back at Portman Road, Ipswich Town 2, Cheltenham 0. Best of luck, guys. You're going to need it.
How about them fighting words, Seb? You're not used to that, are you? The attitude.
Oh, you're hard. Oh, no, I can't say he's going to beat me. I can't say anything, to be fair.
Yeah, well, there you go, Mark. So it's a different attitude to Matt. It was a little bit more reverential, wasn't it? Yeah. Blimey, Mark. So, no pressure on you. Well, there you go. So, I mean, the key one, let's talk about our game first off, and a nice consistent 2-0, 2-0, 2-0 across the board. Said what? Again, I've said this and it didn't backfire Monday, so I'm going to say it again. What could possibly go wrong?
They can't score away from home three all season, so that's why I've gone for the clean sheet. And I was very confident for Lincoln. I think, was it 3-0 or 3-1 I predicted for Lincoln? So I've kind of tampered that back a little bit. So, yeah, I'm going to go for the 2-0 victory. Hopefully we'll score relatively early in the first 15, 20 minutes, make it nice and comfortable and get a second in the second half. And, yeah, hopefully it should be a relatively straightforward day at the office to get us back on form. Because it feels like that Charlton game was ages ago, doesn't it? Yeah, it wasn't, but that's kind of been hanging over us a little bit. So I just want a nice, I know we won in the cup, but I just want a nice straightforward league victory to really get that monkey off our backs.
Yeah, it was a punch in the gut, wasn't it, Charlton? Mm. We've both gone for Plymouth to, I was going to say, slip up. Lincoln, a bit of a bogey team for good size. They obviously beat us, drew with Sheffield Wednesday. Did they beat Sheffield Wednesday? I'm trying to remember. But there's a lot of weird baggage around Plymouth right now, particularly after the weekend, a couple of injuries. Dan Scar, I think, went off. Connor Grant went off. Defeat battled in the cup to Brimsby. They brought on good players as well.
Yeah.
And we're keeping our fingers crossed that the manager of the month curse might strike.
Yeah, we've both gone for a 1-1, haven't we? And Mark's gone for a 2-1 victory. As you've gone for a 0-0, I've gone for a 1-1, and Mark's gone for a 2-1 victory for Plymouth. So, yeah, I mean, Lincoln took 4 points off us on Wednesday, didn't they? They drew with Wednesday and they beat us, obviously. So, you know, they're doing okay. They've only lost one out of the last five, so they've kind of hit a little bit of a run of form, but there are a couple of draws in there. And hopefully Schumacher wins manager of the month, and hopefully they drop points and we can kind of close that gap a little bit.
And hopefully he goes to Luton, and hopefully they get into administration.
And hopefully Whittaker goes back to Swansea, and Bumba goes back to Norwich. And
we've been saying this for weeks, haven't we? So
Zaz will be a miss, won't he? He's out. Is it 10 weeks? Out for that's a miss. That's a big miss. So hopefully things are starting to change a little bit.
So I think it's an optimistic prediction, and Mark will probably sweep up the points.
They'll go there, with 5-0 now, won't they?
you and Mark have gone for narrow wins away from Peterborough. I quite like Exeter. I'm a bit worried about next week, if I'm honest, and we'll talk more about that, obviously, in next week's pre-match show. But Peterborough, still a little bit iffy. Any thoughts on that one?
Well, you say, I mean, Peterborough have won 4 of the last 5 games. They're on decent form. Exeter, I think,
Long way to go, Seb.
There is, but McCann's nominated for manager of the month. I kind of feel that maybe they've had their bit of a blip in that weird run where they didn't win in the league and lost in various cup competitions and stuff. So, you know, I just think with the firepower they've got, Exeter have kind of dropped off slightly. We'll cover them in more detail on next week's show. But Exeter have dropped off slightly, and I think Peterborough will get a result there, to be honest.
Fair enough. Well, we'll check back in next week. We'll see whether Billy Big Bollocks Mark embarrasses us, or whether he's put in his place. And maybe it's Seb's week. It feels like your old one. So
not going to happen.
We'll be optimistic for you. We'll keep our fingers crossed, obviously, for an Ipswich Town win. It would be great to set up our Saturday night, won't it? So we will check in next week and see how everyone's got on. That is your lot. If you've joined us for the entirety, thank you so much. We appreciate you. Thank you, Seb, as always, for your research. Thank you, Mark, for your predictions. Worth mentioning, as always, we'll be back for the flagship show at 8 p.m. As always, we'll be back for the pre-match show next week. We'll figure out live events and all that, live Q&As midweek as well. We hope to see lots of you at the live event on Saturday night, or at least at the ground before or after the game. And worth mentioning as well, we've got some discounts and promos coming up for merch store as well. So we'll announce those too, so you can get yourself some warm bits and pieces for the winter. We've got Santa hats, Seb. So, you know, if you need yourself a Santa hat with a Blue Monday logo on it, then, yeah, what more could you ask?
So a perfect stocking filler for respective partners on Christmas Eve.
Perfect. We need to say thank you to the Greyhound as well for their support. And I think, Seb, I think that's everything apart from look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Yes.
Look forward to seeing everyone else on Saturday, and I'll let you say goodbye.
Hopefully, see as many of you as you can in the Greyhound. See you at the match for an easy 3 points, hopefully. See as many of you as we can in the Sir Bobby Robson suite. And as always, come on, you Blues.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.